Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. 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 We serve a great God, a mighty King, and we are grateful, Father God, for what you're doing. What you're doing, because you're always doing something for your children. You keep us in your holy thoughts, oh God. So this morning we say thank you, Lord God. There is nobody greater. And, Lord, we just thank you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, for releasing your glorious power against the enemy on our behalf, oh God. What a great God we serve. Oh, Father God, we thank you for letting your power and your might be released from our hands, oh God, from your hand, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, scatter the enemy by your power, oh God. Rule over your enemies, Father God, through your power, oh God. Let the power of your anger be released against the powers of darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. And we are giving you all the glory this morning, all the praise. I thank you, O God, for delivering us from the power of Satan unto you, O God, in the name of Jesus. Divide the sea and destroy marine spirits by your power, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. O Father God, we are strong in you, O God, and in the power of your might. Cause the powers of darkness to submit to your power. O Father God, display your awesome power that men will believe that you are the great and mighty I am, that there's nobody more powerful than you, O God. Release your power in healing and deliverance, O God. Release your powerful voice in the name of Jesus. Let us rebuke. Let us be amazed at your power, O God. Let your great power be released through your apostles, O God, in the name of Jesus. Let signs and wonders and miracles be released through your power of your Holy Spirit, O God, in the name of Jesus. Release your powerful angels on our behalf to fight the battles in heaven, O God. In the heavens, Father God, release the power of Elijah through your prophets, O God. Let us be willing in the day of your power, Father God. And Father God, we just thank you that you are God, and truly nobody's greater than you, O God. We give you glory and thanksgiving this morning. We give you praise this morning, O God. We praise you because you are awesome in every way. We praise you for abundant life. We praise you because you are the God that we can call on in the midnight hour. You are the God that we can call on early in the morning. You said if we seek you early, that we will find you, O God. So this morning we thanking you, Lord God, that we can find you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we appreciate you, O Father God. We appreciate you as never before. We come this morning with thankful hearts to give you glory, to give you praise, to give you thanksgiving, O God. And, Father, being human, we sin against you, O God. We have errors in us, O God. We have spots on our garment, O God. So, Father God, we ask you to forgive us for every sin, every transgression, every trespasses, every error, O God. You said, who can know his errors? O God, we don't know our errors. We think that we are right, O God. But, Lord, you know the error of our ways. So forgive us, O God, for sinning against you, the Most High God. Create in us a clean heart, renew a right spirit, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for releasing your great power in the name of Jesus for your children on a daily basis, O God. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Even when we don't know that you're present, you're right there. Even when you seem far away, you're closer than ever. You're right there by us and for us, O God. Oh, Father, I thank you for your faithfulness, O God. I thank you for your loyalty to your children, Father God. So this morning we bless and honor you in Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, good morning. I thank God for each of you coming on this morning. I appreciate you joining us on Bible Story Land. You are a blessing to us. It is Family Day on Bible Story Land. So follow along or listen as I read Psalms 27 in your hearing this morning. The Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? And, of course, you know, I replace I with we so I'm including you. The Lord is the strength of our lives. Of whom shall we be afraid? When the wicked, even our enemies and our foes, came upon us to eat up our flesh, they stumbled and they fell. Though an host should encamp against us, our hearts shall not fear. Though war should arise against us, in this we will be confident. One thing we have desire of, O Lord, that we seek after you, O God, that we may dwell in your house all the days of our lives, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, O God, for all that you're doing on our behalf, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for your word is true. O Father God, we thank you this morning, O God. We inquiring into your temple, O God, for in the time of trouble, we just thank you this morning, O God, that you will hide us in your pavilion. In the secret of your tabernacle, you shall hide us. You will set us upon a rock, and now shall our head be lifted up above our enemies around about us. Therefore, we will offer in your tabernacles sacrifices of joy. We will sing, yea, we will sing praises unto our God. Hear, O Lord, when we cry with our voice. Have mercy also upon us and answer us. When thou saidest, seek ye thy face, O Lord, our heart said unto you, thy face, Lord, will we seek. Hide not your face far from us, O God. Put not your servants away in anger. Thou hast been our help. Leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. When our fathers and our mothers forsake us, then you will take us up, O Lord. Teach us thy way, O Lord, and lead us in a plain path because of our enemies. Deliver us not over unto the will of our enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against us, and such as breathe out cruelty. We have fainted unless we have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen our heart. Wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. I say wait on the Lord. You know, we serve an awesome God. And I tell you what, God loves his people. He loves his people. Those that are called by his name, those that are obedient to him, those that bow before him, he loves us. Well, this morning we're blessed to have a woman of God on from Houston, Texas. Her name is Karen Itell. And she's going to play a song of praise for us this morning. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
I'm doing good.
All right. What you going to play this morning?
I command you, Satan.
All right. You ready to listen?
Thank you.
Hallelujah. We can command Satan to be under our feet. You know, Jesus told Satan to get behind me, Satan. So I thank God that he's under our feet and we can command him. Well, we have two cousins on this morning, one from Paducah, Kentucky. Good morning, my sister. How are you? And one from Jacksonville. How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning, Minister G.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Guess what?
What?
My mom and I are in Louisville, Kentucky. We're attending a workshop. But I did want to tell you that I'm praying for the broadcast this morning. I know it's going to be great, but my 86-year-old mom is sitting right here next to me, and this is the first time she's ever heard your program.
Amen. We are blessed. Hallelujah. Tell her I said hello and give her a kiss for me.
Bless your heart. All right, I'll do that. But
all right.
I do love you. I love
and
you.
And I'm praying for us this morning, huh?
Well, is Jackie on?
Yeah, Jackie, you there? Oh, no, Jackie not on yet. This is another sister from New Orleans is on, but Jackie's not on. She was kind of exhausted this morning.
Okay, well, if you want me to sing, I'll sing for you.
Okay, what you going to sing? Donna.
Let's see. How about Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross?
Amen, okay.
Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. You ready?
Yes.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Oh, there, I pray, just fountain. It's free. From Calvary's mountain, in the cross, in the cross, be my it's
us beyond the river.
Amen, amen. I thank God for you. Woo! In the cross. Oh, that was awesome. Jesus, keep me near the cross. My mother used to love that song. So I
all
thank
right,
God
all
for
right.
you. I'm sorry, what did you say?
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Have an awesome day at that workshop.
Thank you.
Yes, I thank God for you. Well, you know what?
I love
we should extol our God. He's a holy God and a righteous God. We have to lift him up daily. And the Word of God says in Psalms 21:13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're singing to give him praise, worship, and power. Psalms 99:5 says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Psalms 47:9 says, exaltation. The princes are the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. So, you know, we can't exalt ourselves. We have to be exalted by the, we have to exalt the mighty God. You know, it's time that we give him high praise. He's our creator. He's the one who created us in his holy image. We have to bow down and worship him. We have to sing and give him praise and power. He is strong and mighty. His power and his strength excelleth them all. He's a great God. He's Lord God Almighty. So I thank God for who he is this morning. And, you know, today I said it's family day, so we are honoring families today on Bible Storyland. And, you know, we're blessed today. We're blessed every day. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed coming out. But today I want to tell you we are truly blessed on Family Day. We have a mighty woman of God. She was born in Jacksonville, Florida. I met her mother in the airport a few months back around Thanksgiving, a little after Thanksgiving time. And right away I knew her mother was a great woman of God. And the Lord allowed me to pray with her, and we exchanged phone numbers. And she told me about her daughter, who now lives in the Chicago area with her family. She is a financial coach. She's been a financial coach. She has 15 years' experience. She is the founder and president of KP Financial. And KP Financial is a personal finance and educator coaching firm focused on educating, motivating, and empowering people to take control of their finances, of their financial future. She is, she'll be speaking to us this morning on how to stay financially blessed in our present-day economy. Her name is Kimberla Evans. Good morning, Kimberla. How are you?
Good morning, Sister G.
All right.
Thanks
well,
so much for having me, and good morning, everyone. I'm so excited to be a part of Family Day today. Like Sister G said, I'd like to talk a little bit about personal finances from a Christian perspective. You know, money is something that we can all learn more about, especially when we consider our families. I have two daughters, and I know how much they watch me and want to be like me. So if I want them to have their finances together, then I'd better have mine in order first. As a parent, we want the best for our children, just like God wants the best for us. And I know it's impossible to teach our children what we don't know. That's why being financially literate and taking the time to teach our kids about the importance of money management is so important. Now, I know some of us may not feel confident about our abilities to handle money, much less teach our children about it. Actually, back in November, I went to a conference in Atlanta, and they told us a little bit about a survey that revealed that parents felt more comfortable teaching our kids about the birds and the bees versus money. I thought that was pretty shocking, but I guess it's not, because it lets us know how comfortable we feel about money ourselves And it goes back to what I said before, is that you can't really teach someone something that you don't know. But money is something that we really need to know about, especially when you consider how it's wrecking our families, specifically those marriages. Money is the number one reason people divorce, so we have to get our money right to have stronger families. That's exactly why I wrote my book, Get Your Money Right, to help everyday people improve their personal finances so they can live better. That way our families can be stronger from generations to generations. Now, I'd like to start this discussion off with one of the most misunderstood scriptures in the Bible about money. Does anyone know what that is? Sister G, is it okay for me to ask that question? Or people, where they can answer it?
Yeah, if you could answer for them, because I ain't put everybody on live right now, but at the end, if you want to just,
Okay,
I'm saying?
Fine.
They're not all on mute right now.
Okay, that's fine. Well, I'll go ahead and answer that question. One of the most misunderstood scriptures in the Bible when it comes to money is 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." I think that this scripture is one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible as it relates to money, because I myself had it confused at first. I thought it said, money is the root of all evil. But it actually says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's a big difference. So it's not money that's evil, it's the love for it that is. This tells us that the love of money could lead to poor decisions. For example, someone may rob, steal, and cheat for money. In fact, I read 90% of the crimes that are committed today are because of money. So we can clearly see that the love of money is the root of all evil. But we really need to understand that money itself is not evil. Like the Bible says, it's the love of money that is. When you think about money, money helps you put a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and food in your stomach. Money is a tool. It's a useful tool with a purpose. And that's why Malachi 3, 8 through 10 talks about the importance of tithes and offerings. It is written, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house." So we use money to provide for our families, and we use it to help others. Now, that being said, I'd like to share a few tips to help put you on the path to financial freedom. The first one is to develop the right mindset. The mind is actually one of the most powerful things that God has given us. When it comes to money, what we have to do to get on that path to financial freedom is, first of all, start by forgetting past mistakes so we can move forward. Sometimes I think when it comes to finances, as Sister G mentioned earlier, I'm a financial coach. I've worked with people on helping them improve their finances for over 15 years, actually. And one of the biggest hang-ups people have is that they keep beating themselves up about mistakes that they made. But that's not helping anyone. I think when it comes to mistakes, we all make them. And what we need to do is we need to learn from those mistakes so we can do it better the next time. Anyone that's ever achieved success is because they kept trying, not they gave up or made excuses. Next thing we have to do is we have to think positive. Remember in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So you want to think good thoughts, because think what your thoughts are going to be what comes to pass. Because as that scripture says, it's for how you're thinking in your heart is what actually comes to be. So when it comes to your finances, are you thinking positive? Are you thinking negative? You have to change if you are thinking negative and think more positively. We also have to have the right attitude. We have to have a can-do attitude, a no-matter-what attitude. And as believers, We know with God all things are possible, so this shouldn't be hard to do. You also want to pay attention to the words you use. Think about the words that you're using about your finances. Are you saying, I'm broke, I'll never have enough? Think about those words. Is that what you want to come to pass? If not, you want to focus your energy on saying things that you want to be true. If you're facing challenges, remember Romans 4:17. Calls things that are not as though they were. For example, if you're up to your eyeballs in debt, don't go around just talking about how you'll never get out of debt. Talk about the things you're doing to become debt-free. The second thing we have to do when it comes to our finances, after we get our mind right, is we have to have a vision. You have to know where you want to be in order to get there. After all, in Proverbs 29:18, it tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. For example, as a parent, you might have a vision of leaving your children an inheritance. After all, in Proverbs 13:22, it says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So, it's not good enough just to say, I have a vision. Let's write it down. Because there's something in that writing that makes things happen. Actually, they say 70% of goals are achieved simply by people that are writing the things down. So we need to write our vision down, and then we need to set goals, because goals are our stepping stones to actually achieving that vision. And then we need to be committed to making it happen. So that means we're taking the actions to achieve those goals so that we can realize that vision. So going back to that example of the inheritance for our kids, you know, we can say, oh, we want to do that, but what are we going to do to get there? Again, having that vision is important, but we have to think about what is our plan, what is our game plan to make that happen, and then put that into action to actually realize that vision. The next thing we want to do is we really want to be good stewards with our money. In this point, I feel that it's very important that we wake up our money consciousness and start paying attention to where our money's going. I mean, after all, has a year ever passed where you kind of look at your W-2 forms or how much money you made for the year and wondered where that money is? You know, where did it go? When I say we need to raise our level of money consciousness, I think it's important that we understand where our money is going. So we're tracking our money, understanding where are we spending it. Are we thinking about tomorrow and saving for it? In Proverbs 21:5, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. So if we want to continue to grow, it's important that we start to take care of what we have, because the better we take care of what we have is the more that we're going to get. Number four is a big one, especially, you know, as Sister G talked about today's economy, and that is being lenders and not borrowers. In Proverbs 22:7, it says, the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. Someone once compared being in debt right now to modern-day slavery, because you're working for everyone you owe and not for yourself. To change that, you need a plan, and you can get out of debt. In fact, I believe you can do anything you put your mind to as long as you're determined to do it. My personal motto that I've always used in life is, if you can perceive it, just believe it, and you will achieve it. So if you're in debt right now, I strongly encourage you to get a copy of my book, because you're going to get easy to understand, step-by-step, you know, process to actually get out of debt and stay out of debt. I've helped many people get out of debt, and the reason why I wrote it is so that people can break free, because God wants us to be able to help other people. If we can't help ourselves, how can we help someone else? The next one is to be grateful and give freely. I call these the power of G's, which is so fitting to be on Sister G's show, and I have these power of G's. The reason why I believe that these are the power of G's is because I think they're really powerful principles. They're basically saying that we have to have an attitude of gratitude, right? So be grateful for the things that we have. I think the most beautiful scripture that I've ever read on being grateful for what you have is in Philippians 4:11, where Apostle Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of what of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." When it comes to giving, God definitely loves a cheerful giver, and for some reason, giving seems to have a boomerang effect on the giver and the receiver. The best thing about giving is that when we give, we're showing that we love, we're showing our love for others. Whether that's giving a compliment, a listening ear, a smile, money, or our time. Sometimes we think we can't afford to give, but the truth of the matter is really that we can't afford not to. So I hope that you found, you know, these nuggets of wisdom when it comes to personal finance useful. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, I do encourage you to grab a copy of my book, Get Your Money Right, because I go in more depth on personal finance and how you can turn your finances around if you're in a place where you don't want to be, to help you get where you do want to be. It's available online. You can find it at gainmoneycontrol.com. That's G-A-I-N, moneycontrol.com. And on my site, you'll also see a blog, and it's full of other money tips. And with that, I do want to leave you with one of my favorite scriptures, which is Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I encourage everyone to keep the faith. And now, Sister G, I just wanted to turn it back over to you. I don't know if anyone has any questions. I'll be happy to answer any.
All right. Wow. Woo! That was an awesome talk. I appreciate you, Kimberla.
I appreciate you inviting me. This has been great.
Thank you so much for coming on, for being willing to come on. So, you know, she has a husband and two children, and, you know, she stays busy, and she has her own business. And as she said, you can get her book on GameMoneyControl.com. And her mother gave me one of her cards, and on her cards it shows the book. It's beautiful. And it's in green. It has money on the front. Get Your Money Right, The 7 Keys of Unlocking a Better Financial Future by Kimberla Evans. And, you know, I love the way her mom spells her name is K-E-M-B-A-L-A, Kimberla Evans. So don't forget, go on GainMoneyControl.com, pull up her book, and order it. And does anyone have any questions? Press 1. Anybody have any questions? Press 1. Anybody have any questions for Kimberla? Press 1. Okay, someone pressed 1 right here. Hold on, please. Good morning, and you are? Good morning. 635-904-635, you're on live, and your name is? Hello? They pressed 1, but they're not asking a question right. Mom, just hang on. All right, 904-635. I don't want to say your full number, but you're on live. Hello? Look like they're trying to come in, but they're not quite in yet. I don't know if you're driving or, but if you're speaking, it's not clear. Okay, possibly they'll come on again. Okay, we have another question here. Looks like Jackie. How you doing, Jackie?
Good morning.
Good morning. You have a question for Kimberla?
No. I just came in. I'm sorry. I just came on the line.
All right. We thank God for you coming on.
I just want to listen.
Okay, good. Thank you so much. Hope you feel better. Father God,
touch
your voice in the name of Jesus and give her rest. Thank you, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. I'm going to say this again. 904-635, you're on live. You have a question for Kimberla? Okay, they press 1, but not able to say anything. I can't seem to get them on to say anything. I don't know what's going on there. But you are on live, 904-635-8591. You're on live. If you're speaking, I can't hear you. Okay, anybody else have a question for Kimberla? Well, I thank God for you, Kimberla, this morning.
Out of the ordinary, how about, do you have your book in audio cassette or in PDF format or something like that?
Not yet. Right now it's just available in paperback. But what I will do is I'll let Sister G know. Should it be available in audio format at a future date? I know I have had a request for that. Thanks for your question.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, Karen is, you know, she's a very gifted woman of God. She was the one who played the song a little while ago. That
oh,
first,
that's beautiful.
She played it. And I want you to know that Karen is considered legally blind, but God has given her such a great gift, so she needs to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So when she gets that book so that it can be heard, we'll let you know, Karen. We're looking
forward.
Yeah,
and I am working on that because my grandmother actually is legally blind too, and she's actually requested it as well.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have a question for Kimberla?
Did we lose 635, Sister G?
I'm looking to see right now. Hold on. Hello? Hello? Sounds like they were trying to speak, but it can't come through.
Oh, okay.
For some reason. I don't know. It's not coming through. So hold on. Let me see who else. Anybody else press 1? Yeah, somebody else press 1 here. Hold on. Brother David on. How you doing, Brother David?
Hey, Sister Gina, I'm blessed and grateful and happy that God loves me.
I know that's right. He loves me, too.
Yeah.
He ain't no respecter of persons. You got a question for Kimberla this morning?
Well, the cost of the book is not a big priority, but it would be nice to know. Also, that book help people that have a lot of negative abundance, let me use that term, but they have good credit. And you hear all these companies saying if you have X amount, they'll help you out. But when it comes to people with good credit, there's not much help for people with good credit. So will the book address any of that?
Okay, so when you say you hear a lot of people saying that if you have good credit, can you expand on that for me, please, because I want to really make sure that I understand
okay.
your question there. Now, in terms
okay.
of how much the book is, I can answer your first question, though. How much the book is, it's $15.95, and, you know, that's how much it is. It's $15.95.
Okay.
Which
I'm addressing is...
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that... Go ahead. Go ahead. I just want to tell you the value of this book because I was really, blessed.
Okay.
No, I was just going to tell you a personal testimony that I did get from someone that I want to share with everyone here, is that this one woman who came to one of my workshops that I delivered last year, and I, talked a little bit about personal finance like I did here today, and she sent me an email back in the beginning of December. And she told me that after she read my book, that her salary, that she got a new job, and her salary doubled. And she said it was all because she changed her mindset. So some of the things that I talked about just on Sister G's show, if you put those into action, you could see major changes in your life. You know, some of the tips that I showed. You know, the book is more geared towards going into more details on those topics as well as others. So in terms of credit, if you don't have good credit, the book shows you how to get good credit. And I really didn't understand what you were saying about the companies in the credit.
Okay.
So I do want to make sure that people understand that the book goes – what I did is when I wrote that book is I said, if I could help anybody change their finances around, what would I put? What would I tell them? And that's what's in the book. So it talks about credit. It talks about debt. It talks about saving. It talks about every area of personal finance. So let's go back to your question, sir, which is David,
okay.
Right? Tell me
yes.
about good credit in your question.
Okay. $15 is a great price. That's, I just want to know for general knowledge. It's not, you know, just to know. But, like, those commercials that come on and say, are you more than $10,000 in debt? Are you more than $20,000 in debt? Well, call such and such and such, and we'll help you take care of that debt. Well, I've read books on that stuff, and even Debt Cures by, Kevin Trudeau. I've even read that book. And most of the strategies they give you are for people that have bad credit and extreme emergency situations. That's the type of advice that's in those books. Now, my question is, a person that may have negative abundance, but they have good credit, that's the type of help, you know, that I'm asking, is that in the book?
Yes, because it's going to help you go from negative abundance to godly abundance, right, which is on the flip side, right? So it's about, I think it's excellent that you have good credit, right? And it's more about building that wealth that I talked about, because when we have more, we can do more.
Right, okay.
Okay, so it's about, it's a book that you'd want to have to grow your money.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So I understand what you're saying now.
It does.
Sorry.
Yeah. Does it cover any methods like the debt snowball and all that stuff as well?
It doesn't necessarily refer to it as that, because I feel that when it comes to debt, there's different strategies that work for different people. So I go through a variety of strategies because I've, you know, personally helped and worked with people. Like for some people, their strategy may be different. And what works for them may not work for you, right? So what I do is I cover a variety of options to get out of debt.
Okay, that sounds good.
Does that make sense?
Okay, yes.
And I think that one thing about this book that's different than other books is like a lot of my friends used to say, well, Kimla, I feel that personal finance books are A, boring, and they're B, complicated. What I did in this book is I wanted to have something that's in a bookshelf for everyday people. So I simplified the book. My 8-year-old daughter can even read my book. Okay, so it's keeping it simple so that we can learn the nuggets of wisdom that are making rich people rich and keeping them rich.
Okay. Thank you, Miss.
Thank you so much for your questions. They've been great, and I wish you all the best.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else have a question? Any more questions for Kimberla? Press 1. She gave great instructions as to, you know, she gave great nuggets as to how to, you know, think about money, how to use money. So, you know, the first thing she said is, you know, to having the right attitude, the right mindset. Forgetting your past mistakes. And, you know, she gave scriptures to back up these things, Proverbs 23:7, positive thinking, Romans 4:17, Proverbs 29:18. She gave lots of scriptures for us to study. And like I said, you can get her book on gainmoneycontrol.com. It's $15.95. So you would be giving to a good cause as well as helping yourself. So I thank God for each of you. We're going to be moving on. In a few minutes, we're going to be teaching about the instruction of our children. So she was saying her daughter can read this book, and it's so simple. So, you know, I pray that we all I get the book. I don't have it yet myself. I plan to get a copy for myself. Get Your Money Right is the name of the book. It has seven to unlocking better financial future. Kimberly, did you have anything else you wanted to say before I go move on?
No, I just wanted to say thank you so much, Sister G. Today's program has definitely been a blessing to me as well, and I thank all the listeners today.
Well, I thank you for being on. I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on with us before we move on to the next. Like I said, we're going to be talking about instruction of our children, and we do have to instruct our children in godliness. So we have a woman of God on from New Orleans area, New Orleans, Louisiana. Her name is Sister Vivian. Good morning, Sister Vivian.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Praise the Lord.
All right. You're going to sing a song for us this morning.
Yes, I have an old song that I haven't heard from a long time, so I hope that I can remember the tune to it. And the title of it is We Shall See the King. There's a blessed time that's coming, coming soon. It may be evening, morning, night, or noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. Well, he's coming in great power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Are you ready? Should the Savior call today? Would Jesus say, well done, or go away? My home is for the pure. The vile can never stay. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. Well, he's coming in great power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, my brother, are you ready for the call to crown your Savior, King and Lord of all? The kingdoms of this world shall soon before him fall. We shall see the King when he comes. Oh, we shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. Well, he's coming in great power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. Well, he's coming in great power. Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Woo, that was awesome, awesome. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in great power. You know that. He's the most powerful King. Oh, my God, he's powerful. Are you ready if he comes today? You know, we got to be ready. Well, thank you so much, Sister Vivian. I appreciate you. That was awesome. Well, as I said before, we're going to be talking today about instruction of our children. And, you know, God wants us to instruct our children in every area. He don't want them to grow up being ignorant. He said he winked at ignorance at one time, but now he's calling everybody everywhere to come to repentance. And you got to know, you got to know who God is. You got to develop a relationship with God. So I thank God today for the talk that Kimberly gave about finances, because in every area we got to be, you know, right with the Lord. We got to be responsible for the money that he gave us. We can't just squander it off and do anything we want to do. So we got to first instruct our children. And you know what? God has plans for parents. He does. On how to instruct our children. So Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, only take heed to yourselves and keep thy soul diligently, lest I forget these things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from the heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons. So, you know, we got to be careful, watch closely, so that we don't forget the things that we've seen with our own eyes. You know, the things God helped us with along the way. You know, when I was little, I didn't know God was watching over me, but he told me he was watching over me when I was a little girl. So, you know, when you're little, God still watch over you. He show you great and mighty things. He may have shown you, you know, how he protected you from different diseases, or how he protected you when you went walked to school or rode the school bus. But, you know, he does protect us. He does great miracles even today. Not just in Moses' day when Moses stretched out the rod. God performs miracles today. I was listening to something on TV recently where this man said that he was an atheist. He's a scientist. He was an atheist. And he didn't believe in God. He just thought, you know, because he was adopted and his mother rejected him, you know, for years and years, he just thought there couldn't be a God. Why would God allow my own mother to reject me? He just could not fathom that. So he said there could not be a God with, you know, things like that happening in the world. There couldn't be a God. When you look at news, you think, my God, why would God allow this and allow that? But, you know, he still does great and mighty things. We don't know the mind of God. His mind, he's past finding out. But the one thing, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Your understanding gets you in trouble. You ever thought you understood something as you were growing up when you were younger, maybe in your teens or 20s, and you thought, oh, yeah, you got it all figured out. By the time you got to be 30 or 40, you said, oh, my God, I have a better understanding of that now. I thought it was this way, but I was mistaken. And so many of us have gotten angry with God because we didn't understand certain things. Well, we don't have to understand, but he said trust in him. Don't lean on your own understanding. And then he said, okay, now, once you trust me, don't let them fade from your memory as long as you live. Remember the things that the Most High God has done for you. Remember, maybe you were in debt. I was in debt, $100,000, before I left New Orleans. He set me debt free. So God is able. He's healed many people. He's healed people of AIDS and cancer and all kinds of diseases that doctors are limited. But he also said, teach them to your children, and guess who else? Your grandchildren. So grandparents, parents, we got jobs to do. Now, in the next scripture, it's found in Deuteronomy 6:7, and he says, now tell them to your children, or repeat them. When you repeat something, you tell them over and over, over and over. You don't just say it one time. You know, you can't tell your child, look, this is how you tie your shoe. I'm going to tell you one time, and you better learn how to tie it. No, no, no. You show them, you tell them, you show them, you tell them over and over till they get it. Now, there are some things that people learn right away, even children, right away. First time you show them, they can do it. You give them some technical instrument, computer, some game, you know, some electronic game. They get right away. Sometimes you don't even have to tell them. But God said, no. Repeat my laws to your children over and over. Take them, you know, take them when you're at home. Teach them when you're at home, away from home, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them down and tie them around your wrist. You've seen these wristbands, and some of them say, you know, Jesus is the way. Put them on your children's wrist, on your wrist to remind them. When you're in the car, don't be fussing at them. Say, you know, I want to tell you this story about a great man of God, and the great man of God this, or a great woman of God, and she did that. Tell your children stories and ask them questions so they can focus. So you got to train them up in the way they should go. Teach them diligently to your children. Write them down on the door frames. You know, you've seen, I know I used to live in New Orleans, and I was in a community where a lot of Vietnamese people live. They had all these signs above their doors. We can hang signs on our doors letting people know we are child of the Most High God. Jesus is Lord. All right, Deuteronomy 11:19-20. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home. Talk about them when you're away from home. When you lie down and when you get up, talk about them. You know, God's law is awesome. And it's an old phrase that says, the leader's job or the parent's job is to keep the main thing the main thing. Moses attempts to do this in Deuteronomy by reminding the Israelites that their existence revolves around loving God. He also tells family leaders, fathers and mothers, how to transfer truth to their children. So he says, the first thing, relationship comes before rules. You know, just like we got to have a relationship with God, have a relationship with your children. You know, when they're in the womb, you say, oh, I can't wait for them to come. Oh, I'm so happy I'm having a boy. I'm so happy I'm having a girl. You know, whatever it is, you're building relationship. And you can lay hands on your stomach and say, baby, I can't wait for you to get here. I'm glad God put you in my womb. I'm glad God had me as your mother. I'm glad God has, you know, your father whom he chose. And then the second thing is the truth must be in before it can be in you, before it can be in them. Just like Kimberly said, you got to know about finances before you can teach it to your children. If not, they're going to be all mixed up. So you got to know who God is, have a relationship with him, before you can have your children have a relationship with him. Also, he said, every day offer natural opportunities for teaching your children. Every day you have natural opportunities. You can, when you're sitting down, instead of flipping the TV on, talk to them about God. When you sit down to have a meal, pray before and thank God for what he's done for you. And then talk to your children. Instead of talking all this foolishness and arguing back and forth, talk to them about God and how he's been good to you. Okay, when you're walking along the road, driving time, or when you sit, you know, in the car, or on the school bus, you know, you can write out, have your children write scriptures on note cards and say, baby, when you get on the bus, I want you to read these all the way to school. I tell you what I found out. The more you read the Word of God, the more knowledgeable you become and the more you can grasp and understand even things you couldn't figure out along the way. You say, oh, God just gave me a revelation. When you read the Word, he'll reveal things to you, secrets to you, things you couldn't figure out before. That's why Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were so brilliant. They were skillful in knowledge and science and all kind of math, and they were 10 times smarter than their friends because they stayed with the Word. I'm not talking about this Word right here, but they knew the Word of God that was at that time. So we got to do the same thing. You know, before you lie down, get on your knees with your children. Don't just say, go to bed. No. You take them in the room, and you get on your knees with them, and you pray over them, and then you teach them how to pray. Don't say, did you say your prayers? No, no, no. You listen, and then you teach them how to pray. You know, a lot of times I hear children saying stuff that don't even make sense, but you make corrections when they're praying. You know, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And, you know, I know you love your children, so teach your children to pray. Repetition is the parents' and the teacher's best friend. When you tell them the same thing over and over, I know sometimes when they get to be 11, 12, you know, they start looking kind of funny at you because them hormones changing. But, hey, you don't allow it to change what you do. You still keep teaching them. You still keep telling them what the Word of God says. Say, listen, that scripture I gave you, by Friday, it's Sunday now. By Friday, I want it memorized. One scripture, not going to hurt them. You remember, I remember telling you all on the radio a few months ago, or maybe a year or so ago, I went to a church, and the pastor, he was just saying, I got something good for y'all today to hear. And he brought a four-year-old up to the front. Now I'm talking about a church that had over 6,000 people. It was a little four-year-old. He went and got her, and her name was, I've forgotten, you know, he called her name, and he said, come up here. He said, oh, we got a surprise for y'all. She was 4 years old. He said, I want you to say a scripture that begin with A. Don't you know that child said a scripture begin with A? Say a scripture begin with B. All the alphabet. He even mixed them up. He skipped some around. He said, now tell me one begin with J. What about one begin with Z? Don't you know that four-year-old knew a scripture that began with every alphabet? Now, you know if a four-year-old can do that, a 14-year-old. What about an 8-year-old? They can learn anything. And you know what I used to tell my students when I taught school? I had my own school in New Orleans, and they would tell me, oh, Miss Gilner, I can't. I said, excuse me, you got the wrong words. Here, Philippians 4:8. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is your scripture for your life. Even parents say, oh, I don't know how to do that. You can learn. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you can get the Lord to teach you. The Lord has taught me many things. I said, Lord, these people are trying to tell me something, but I don't understand it. You tell me. You teach me. You explain it to me so that I can grasp it. And he has many times. So you can teach your children, you know, from the time they get up to the time they go to bed. You know, I don't read anything in the Bible about when they, you know, children going to school. They were taught at home. Mothers stayed at home. Fathers stayed at home. They had businesses. And they taught the children the business, and they taught them the scriptures as they walked with them all day long. They were teaching them all day. And some parents say, oh, I can't wait till they go to school. They got to get out of my house. I want my privacy. Oh, you know, I'll be so glad when they get school age. Attitude. Even if you don't say it to your children, they feel it. They feel it. Deuteronomy 31:13. You know, like I said, the word of God is very powerful. And their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn the fear of the Lord your God. As long as you live in the land, whither you go over the Jordan to possess it. You can live in Jacksonville. You can live in Houston. You can live in Memphis. You can live in Paducah, Kentucky. You can live in Tallahassee. You can live in Houston. Wherever you live, you can teach your children about the Most High God. It don't matter where you live. God has given you life. He's given you understanding. You can teach your children. So we're talking about training up the children the way they should go. I taught babies from the youngest baby, I know I've told you this before, from 2 weeks old. Her mother used to bring her in a little carrier, a car seat carrier. We just put her up on the table, and we had 2 and 3-year-old children. She'd come in there and sit up on the little carrier, and we'd change her diaper. We'd feed her a bottle. It was about 3 or 4 of us adults in there. We had maybe 10, 11, sometimes 12 or more children, and we would teach them the way. We would sing songs, and we would teach them stories. And so one day when the baby was about a year old, she didn't even come every Sunday. She'd just come, you know, so every so often, maybe 3, 4 weeks out of a month, or, you know, sometimes she may skip, whatever. But when she was about a year old, her mother brought her, and she said, what's this song you're teaching her? And we say, she talks. Her mother says, she sing them every day. She never opened her mouth other than to cry in the class for milk or get her diaper changed or to be held. But every day she was singing the songs at home. So no matter how young they are, you, even in the womb, you can teach your baby. They know your voice. You can put praise music on. Don't put that shaky booty music on, all that rap and all that loud crap. Whatever you teach them, they're going to come forth to do it, even if you start when they're 2 weeks old. So start young, teaching them, training them, train them in the womb. Put your hands on your belly and say, oh, we can't wait for you to get here. We love you. We are just waiting. We got your room ready. Your bed's ready. We got clothes for you. We're stocking up on food for you. We love you. Your grandpa love you. Your grandma love you. Your auntie love you. Your brother, sister love you. You could tell them all the love that's waiting on them to come. You can say to them, you are so healthy, you don't even you don't even sneeze. You're so healthy. You kick me, but I know that you're alive when you kick me, and I thank God for you. So, you know, you can teach your children in the stomach. You know, Psalm 78 says, he established written instructions for Jacob's people. He gave teachings to Israel, and he commanded ancestors to make them known to their children so that the next generation would know them. Children yet to be born would learn them. They would grow up and tell their children to trust God, to remember what he's done, and to obey his commands. Now, if you don't know his commands, how can you teach your children to obey them? But as we continue in the Word, Proverbs 22:6. Don't you love that scripture? Just about every week I'm saying that scripture, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child. You should know it by heart now. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. So we got to train our children. We must train. When we train, we teach them God's ways, Deuteronomy 6:7. When we train them in God's ways by living, you know, righteous lives before our children, we got to train them up the way God wants them trained. He wants them to know his ways. He wants them to know who he is, that he's the mighty God that birthed you and that birthed them, that created them, that said, you know, holy is my people. He's expecting holiness. You can't live an unholy life and teach your children to live holy. It can't be done. They're going to do what they see. Children live what they see, not what you say. Trust me, if you show them the same picture over and over and over, and you tell them, you don't even tell them who it is, they're going to know that person by sight, even though they may not know the name of that person. So we got to continually train up. We're talking about instruction. God not only says that he commands that we instruct the children. Lamentations 2:19. Lamentations says, get up, cry out at night, every hour on the hour. Pour out your heart. Pour your heart out like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer for the lives of your little children who faint from hunger on every street corner. Now, maybe these are not your children, but we're talking about children of the world that are starving. But it may be your children in the spirit. Are your children starving for spiritual food? Are you feeding them spiritual food? How can they exist if you don't teach them, you know, the ways of God? The ways of God teaches them, you know, how to live an abundant life, how to live for God. So teach your children the ways of God. Teach your children about who God is. You gotta teach your children from the time they get up in the morning to the time they go to bed at night. Don't neglect to teach them. Because, you know, some people say, well, I took them to church. I don't know why they went out and speeded 100 miles an hour and got a ticket. Just because you take them somewhere don't mean they're absorbing what you're absorbing. Don't mean they heard what you heard. So you got to teach them God's word. In Isaiah 28:9, he says, to who will they make the message understood? To who will they explain this message? To children just weaned from milk, to those just taken from their breast. So look how young the children are. Those children are young. They're just weaned from the breast. Don't you remember the story of Samuel? How his mother went to the church every day, and she prayed. She prayed so much. She was crying. She wasn't even speaking the words. And the priest saw her, and he told her, I don't know, he thought she was drinking. She wasn't drunk. She was crying so hard because she didn't have a baby. And she longed to have a male child. And she said, Lord, if you let me have a male child, I promise I'll give him back to you. And you know she kept her promise? When she weaned him off of her breast, when he got big enough, she took him to Priest Eli. And Priest Eli taught little Samuel his ways. And don't you know God spoke to Samuel when he was a child? He spoke to him. He said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel didn't know who he was, but Eli taught him. Now, Eli was rebellious. Eli didn't even teach his own sons to obey God. And God told Eli, he said, listen, if you don't teach those sons about me and my ways and make corrections in them, I'm going to kill your sons and you. And you know God don't lie now. But guess what happened? God used Samuel, a little boy, to tell Eli what was going to happen. And you know God's word come forth and truthful now. The same thing Samuel as a child told Eli, his sons dropped dead. When they came to tell him that his sons were dead, he dropped dead. So we got to teach them, train them up, instruct them as often as you can. Turn the TV off. Get them off the computers. Get them off the electronic games. You teach them. Sit them on your lap. When they get too big to sit on your lap, sit them next to you on the sofa. You know, in the car, teach them. Our children are getting killed on the street. I heard about a child yesterday. Somebody was telling me on the news they got molested in Walmart. Watch your children. Don't let them go. This child was, I think they said, 13 years old. Now, we're not talking about a 2-year-old. We're talking about a 13-year-old that can talk, that could scream. But we got to train them. We got to train them to handle situations that come up in life. Don't let your children be ignorant. Or don't try to overly protect them from what they need to know. Don't shelter them is what I'm trying to say. When you shelter your children, they go out, they don't know what to do. Don't shelter them. Train them. Instruct them. And when you instruct them in God's ways, they will be able to move quickly in a natural world. John 21:15 says, after they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than the other disciples do? Peter answered him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus told him, feed my lambs. Who are his lambs? The children. The children belong to God. The children belong to Jesus. Don't you remember the scripture in Matthew 19:14 where he says, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven? That's a part of the kingdom. The children. The children are important to the Lord. So he said, you know, to families, to fathers, mothers, children, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, instruct the children in God's ways. He said to you, feed my lambs. He's talking to us. Feed the children. Feed the children. What are you going to feed them? Now, I know you're not going to neglect them with physical food. Of course, you're going to feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Of course, you're going to feed them a meal, a snack. Excuse me. Most children are allowed to go in the refrigerator or in the cupboard. They know where the snacks are. They know where the food is. Some of them know how to cook at 10 years old, 8 years old. They know how to cook. So I'm talking about feed them spiritual food, food that's going to be everlasting, food that's going to help them to be smart. You know, Solomon told his son in Proverbs, he says, son, don't neglect my teachings. Don't neglect your mother's teaching. Remember what we're telling you. Don't you know God wants us to know his word so we can teach it to the children? There are many children today getting caught. What if your child got kidnapped? Can they pray? Can they start just praying and say, Lord, rescue me. Lord, help me. Lord, get me out of the situation. Can they pray? Yes, I pray. I've heard 2-year-olds pray. They'll say, Jesus, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Jesus, bless my mama. Jesus, bless my daddy. I've heard 2-year-olds pray. I've taught them to pray. So, you know, no matter what age, we can teach them. When they're little bitty babies, hold them in your arms and pray with them. Pray for them. Trust me, they'll come here praying. They'll come in saying, Jesus. They'll come in saying, Lord. They'll pray for you when they get to a certain age. So I say to each of you today, especially those that love Jesus, who gave his life for you, do you love Jesus more than you love your family? Do you love Jesus more than you love your friends? Do you love Jesus more than you love your job? Do you love Jesus more than you love your neighbors? If the answer is yes, feed his lambs, the children, whether they're your own birth children, children in the neighborhood, school children, your relatives that are children. Feed them spiritual food. Don't let them grow up being ignorant. There are many children who never heard of Jesus. There are many children whose parents don't know Jesus. Those are the children we got to reach. Some of those children are being kidnapped. Some of them are being killed. Many children are being, you know, killed on the street for no reason. The enemy wants to kill our children. We got to pray for them morning, noon, and night. On that note, I want to ask a question. And this is a very, very serious question. I want to ask you, are you saved? Is there anyone on here who has not given their lives to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I want to be saved? Is there anybody who has not? Press 1. Press 1. Okay, it looks like everyone on Bible Story Land is saved today. And I thank God for each of you that are saved. We have 9 callers on presently. We had 12 callers on earlier today. I thank God. You know, Jesus said in his word, if you confess with your lips, with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. So I thank God for his word. He does it simply. It's very easy to confess Jesus as Lord. It's very easy. But once you confess him as Lord and you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, guess what? You got to live a life of holiness. You can't live how you want to live now. You can't live like the world lives. God has a narrow way. The world has a Baal-Peor way, which is a broad way. That's the way where the people who don't confess God, they're going to go that broad way, that Baal-Peor. No, those are people we're trying to tell them, this is the way. Follow in it. Come on, follow me as I follow the Lord. Can you say that? And you know, many people, they start out good and they love the Lord. Even children sometimes love the Lord. But after a while, they lose that love. They become backslidden. They stop talking to him. They don't have a relationship with him no more. Maybe they got angry at somebody at the church. Maybe something happened in their lives and they just couldn't trust God no more. Whatever happened, or maybe the world looked dazzling and beautiful. Maybe the cosmic creator said, come on over here. I'm going to show you some great things. You know, like he did Jesus. He said, you know, turn these stones into bread. You know, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You know, he says, come on and follow me. He said, no. I will honor the Lord my God. He is the only true and living God. Don't you know Jesus confessed God? We can't follow the cosmic creator because he he will make things look really beautiful. Excuse me, I'm sorry. But we have to keep focused on God. We have to keep focused on God. Keep our eyes stayed on God. You know, it's the race is not given to the swift, but those who continue on to the end. You got to cross the finish line. You can't get tired. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You got to follow the Lord's way. So if you are backslidden, you can say to the Lord, Lord, you know what? I used to trust you. I used to obey you, but somewhere along the line I got off the track. And I'm asking you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to put me back on your path, to keep me on your path. Keep me from falling, oh God, on the wide path, and keep me on the narrow path. Don't you know if there's 99 sheep in place and one goes off the path, Don't you know, Father God, Jesus, he went to look for him. And he took that rod and he pulled him back on the path before the wolves and all the snakes, the vultures, the foxes could get him. He pulled them back. So we got to do the same thing like Jesus did. We got to go out there and say, you know, I believe that you say, but maybe you backslidden. I believe that you believe in God, but what happened? You got to, you know, I perceive by the Spirit of God that you are off, that you may be backslidden. I'm not trying to point the finger. I just want you to be on the right path. I want you to be on God's path. And when I get to heaven, I want to see you there. I meet people on the street all the time. They'll tell me, you know, I used to go to church, but, you know, them people, what about them people? Don't you know, as long, I don't care what church you go to, if human beings are there, they're going to be error because human beings are there. There's no utopia on this earth. Heaven is not on earth. If it were so, everybody be perfect. You wouldn't need Jesus to come back for you. But because we're human and we make mistakes, we have to say, Lord, correct us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And don't you know he will help you? He will hear your cries. He will answer your prayers. So today it is prayer time on Bible Story Land. If you need prayer, press 1, and we will pray according to your prayer needs. Anybody need prayer, press 1. If you've already pressed 1, you're still on live, you can just speak your request. Okay, someone pressed 1 here. Hold on. Look like Sister Donna from Jacksonville. Hold on, Sister Donna. All right. How you doing, Sister Donna Emmanuel? You on live?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm praying. I want you to pray for me and Dante. We're getting ready to go on the road to going to Miami. No, it's just me and Dante. He has an audition on Sunday for Alvin Ailey, the summer intensive. So I hope we have a safe journey and that he has an outstanding performance or audition.
All right. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that request. I thank God for you.
Thank you.
Sister G.
Yes?
This is Jackie. I want you to pray. I would like for you to pray for my senior citizens, as I always do, and my family. Pray for my daughter. She's having a problem with her ankle. I don't know what's going on. And pray that she's able, we're able to afford these books for her to continue her college education. And pray for my niece, which is going through, whatever, I don't know what it is really that she's going through, but her lights are turned off in Indianapolis. And they're trying to get those back on. Pray for her that they find a way, as the Lord just grants a way for us to be able to help her and whatever, somebody can help her get those lights on. And just pray for me and my husband and our family and all my senior citizens. Thank you.
Okay. Any more requests? Press 1. Thank you, Sister Jackie. Press 1 if you have a prayer request. We're going to be praying in a few minutes. Press 1 if you have a prayer request. If you're already on live, you can just state your prayer request. You know, sometimes people tell me they're pressing 1, but they don't come through. So if you're pressing 1, try again. Okay, looks like we have Donna and Jackie's request, and we'll pray for each of you also. Any more requests, press 1. I thank God for you all being on today, and even those who will listen later, I will be praying for all of us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Father God, that you are here with us even today. You said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, you would never leave us. You will never forsake us, O God. And so, Father, today I lift up families everywhere, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Families everywhere are going through different trials, tribulations, all kind of things, oh God. You said trials come, but they won't last, oh God. You said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you will deliver us out of them all. So I thank you, Father God, for delivering us out of every affliction. And so, Father God, today we lift up Sister Donna, your precious daughter, and you already know, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that she will be traveling in the name of Jesus. She will be traveling. Oh, they'll be traveling to the Miami area, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you today for traveling mercy. I bind Oshun, Ogun, those demons that try to cause accidents. And I say, not so, devil. I say that they will have a safe trip going, safety while they're there, and safety on their return. In Jesus' name, they won't even have a flat tire or no car problem or no problems at all. And I decree and declare that every car around them, on the left, on the right, ahead or behind, will not have any problems. There will be safety all along the way because they serve the great God Jehovah. And, Father, you said whatever we ask in your name, believe it, you will grant it. So we thank you today, Father God, for allowing them to travel so that her son, Dante, can go for the audition for the Alvin Ailey Mokunanamakache audition, oh God. And, Father, you know they have great aspirations for their children. And so I thank you, oh God, Mokunanamaka, for leading them by your spirit as they train and teach their children your ways, oh God. Not only Sister Donna and her husband, oh God, Brother David, but I thank you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that every parent that's been listening or on today, that they would begin to train their children, their grandchildren, in the way that they should go. And so when they get old, they won't depart from it. While they're young, they won't depart from it. And, Father God, I thank you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, for teaching parents, in the name of Jesus, how to teach their children, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for safety in Jacksonville, for everyone in Jacksonville, in Houston, in Chicago, in Georgia, in Alabama, in every city, in every state, in the nation, oh God. We bind the hand of the enemy that would try, bring backlash, revenge, retaliation on your people because they follow you, because they obey you. We say, not so, devil. So, Father, today we thank you, O God, in the name of Jesus, for all that you're doing for your people, O God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for Sister Jackie, and we thank you for the job you've given her with the senior citizens, O God. Oh, Father, we thank you for the gifts and talents that you put in her. And, Father God, I thank you for her, Mokoranabaka, the way she serves seniors, O God, is so comforting. They wait for her. They request her, oh God, in the name of Jesus, because of the loving kindness you put on the inside of her. So she bring that to each patient, oh God. And even people who are not her patients, oh God, if she see they need help, Father God, she stops along the way to help them, oh God. And so I thank you for the prayers that she prays on behalf of the elderly, oh God. Not only the ones she worked for, the ones that she come in contact with, but throughout the city, oh God, throughout the nation, oh God. And, Father, excuse me, you knew all about her daughter that hurt her ankle. We bind up any swelling, any inflammation in the name of Jesus, and we say that her ankle will go down, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and it will be normal. And, Father, you know her daughter's in college, and she needs money to go to college. And books, materials cost money. So you said in your word, whatever we ask in your name, believe it, you will grant it. So I believe that the books, Mekorarabaka, that she will be able to purchase every book that she needs, whether it's a used book or a brand new book, oh God. And some of the books that she has, she may not need, oh God. I thank you for her selling them back to the bookstore, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. We bless your holy name in the name of Jesus. And we just say thank you, oh God, for all that you're doing for Jackie, for her husband, for the children, oh God. I just thank you for her entire family all over this land and country, even those she has relatives outside the country, oh God. We just thank you for blessing them in safety and in peace. And, Father, you know, she talked about her niece Lord, the lights have been turned off. So, Father God, whatever they need to get those lights back on, whether it's money, whatever may need to be done, oh, God, I thank you for provisions for her in the name of Jesus, for allowing those lights to get back, turned back on so that warmth can come in the home, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. So we bless and honor you, oh, God, and not only for her niece, oh, God, but for other people, especially in those cold areas in the north where lights may be turned off, oh, God. We thank you for allowing the lights to come on so that the heating system can work in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for keeping the baby warm, the mothers warm, the fathers warm in Jesus' name. We just thank you, God, that you are a mighty provider and that you provide for your children in the name of Jesus. We bless and honor you today in Jesus' holy name we pray. Father God, those who may be not well, who are listening today, who will listen later, we ask you, Lord, to be Jehovah Mokoranabaka, healer, Jehovah Rapha, mighty healer. You're the one who heals. Doctors give pills. They have machines, but they're not able to heal. You're the only one who has healing power, oh God. And Father God, you said that we would do greater things than Jesus did. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, lay hands on them in the spirit, and we say they shall be healed in the name of Jesus. Send the word and heal your people in the name of Jesus, not only physically, but heal them spiritually, oh God. Everything the enemy meant for our harm, turn it around for our good. So we
thank
bless
you, Jesus.
We thank you, oh God. We lift up the children as they stay home and as they go to school. And, Father God, we bind the hand of the enemy that will cause the enemy to come in their home and cause havoc. That will come in their home to try to molest them or rape them or come in their home to kill them, even by their own family members, some of them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we just bless and honor and thank you that you are God. You are God. You are God. And we thank you that you are a great God, a mighty God. We give you much glory. We give you much praise. We give you thanks. We give you a hand clap of praise today.
Hallelujah.
We say thank you, Almighty. Thank you, Almighty. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bless you today, Father God. And we thank you for what you're doing. And, Father God, we thank you for protection as we go out and as we come home, oh God. We plead the blood of Jesus around every person. Every person listening, those who will listen later, every person, oh God, in every city, in every state, throughout the nation and throughout the world, oh God. And, Father, we thank you, oh God, for keeping us safe in our cars, in our homes, on our jobs, wherever we go. We know that it's by your high right hand that we are safe and protected, oh God. So we bless you today in Jesus' name.
So I want to say
to each of you, I thank God for you being on. And I pray that this ministry has been a blessing to you. You can send donations, if you like, to Caritha Gantling, Zion Hope Academy, P.O. Box 2732, Jacksonville, Florida, 32203. So I thank God for you. It is closing time on Bible Story Land. I thank God for you coming on with us today live and those who will listen later. And I thank God, you know, for fathers and mothers, it's not easy being a parent, and especially in this day and time. You know, my father used to say, I'm glad I was born during the time when I was born, because parents and neighbors, even when I was a child, anybody could stop you on the street, the neighbors, and say, come here, you go home right now. You know your mama don't allow that. Or come here, stand over here by me. Or come on and walk with me. And you better speak, because if you didn't speak before you got home, that message was there. You didn't even have a telephone, but that message was there. My mama said, why you didn't speak to so-and-so? Next time, you better speak. And neighbors had permission to spank your children. They could spank us, but guess what? You didn't hear on the news about children getting shot and killed all over the place. because everybody corrected us. You were fighting on the way home from school, people would stop those fights. Nowadays, people are afraid because children carry guns and knives and weapons and all kind of stuff. So people are afraid to stop and say, listen, let's cut that out. I've yelled at children on the street. They were fighting. I blow the horn in my car, and I tell them, break that up. Stop that. I'm not afraid to do it.
Right.
God told us to be fearless. He's with us. So, you know, sometimes we have to take a chance and stop the murders, stop the violence, stop the killing. The
Lord,
if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. So when we do what God says, he will heal our land of the bloodshed. He will stop the murders of our children. But obedience has to come.
Yes.
We got to obey God. We can't live like the devil and expect God to bless us. The devil will bless you, but guess what? It's a trap. And teach your children. The devil will trap them, making them think, oh, yes, you want to make some fast money? But it's a trap from the devil. And he will kill them after that. You can't do that kind of thing in this life and get by with it. You cannot live unholy and get by with it. My mother used to say, what's done in the dark will come to light. So we got to teach our children to live holy lives, righteous lives, holy, righteous lives. That's what God is calling us to. And he ain't just start calling us to that. Read in Romans 12. He expects us to live holy. He expects us to live a holy life. So he said, you know, he don't want us ignorant concerning spiritual things. God is calling his children to holiness. So I want to say to each of you, I appreciate you. I love you. God loves you even more. But he does expect holy lives. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Don't you know God expects us to live like Jesus lived? He lived holy. He lived a righteous life. He gave his body to God, and that's what we have to do, give our bodies to God to be used as vessels of honor, men and women of valor that can call on the Lord and get a prayer answered. Our prayers ain't hitting the floor. They're hitting past the ceiling. They're going to the first heaven. When God hears your prayers, don't you know it's because you have a relationship with him? And even those who don't, sometimes, you know, I've heard of people crying out, crying out, crying out, crying out to God in distress, and he heard their cries. He'll hear you too. So it's closing time, as I said. I want you to know that I love you, but God loves you more than I can ever love you. He loves you so much. I mean, he loves you more than you can even think of, more than you can imagine. God loves you. You know, are you willing to give up one of your children for a sacrifice? And even if you did, it wouldn't help, because Jesus is the way. He's the only one who God chose to live, you know, to come here and die, and to resurrect, to live for us so that we could go back to heaven. Jesus is in heaven right now. And he said, Lord, I stand on behalf of whomever you are. He stands on our behalf. He intercedes. He's praying before the Father. Lord, help Brother David. Lord, help Sister Jackie. Lord, be with this one. Lord, be with Karen. Lord, be with this person. Lord, be. He's crying to the Father on your behalf. When you call on the name of the Lord, don't you know he hears and he answers prayers? So I look forward to speaking with you again on Thursday, January 17th, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. The call-in number, 1-619-789-4313. That'll be boys to men, girls to ladies. We want our young people to live a holy life, to live all the days that God has given them. We don't want to see short caskets leaving here because they got shot down or because they got murdered or killed. We want them to live long, 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 long lives all the days that God give them. So I say to you, have a God-filled day, a God-filled week, a God-filled month, and a God-filled year. Like I said, God loves you so much. Don't forget, obey God. When he tells you, do it. Study the word of God to show yourself pleasing to God. Love y'all.
Creta? I don't know if it's her or she's not.